Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And just like that, we're back here on Paper Route presented by I Am Mathly right here on Sirius XM. I am in the studio with two gents. I got Andrew out west.
You.
And I got BC in the booth. Fellas, a lot going on in sports. You had Caitlin Clark. She had her Kobe moment. I don't know if you guys seen that post.
Saw that. That was dope.
Right. Looked like there was some beef between LSU.
Ooh.
And who did, yeah. That was some beef there. They ain't get it done. And then you got T. Higgins. T. Higgins asked for a trade out of Cincy. And this is a big one because T. Higgins loves Cincinnati. He wanted to be there. He still probably wants to be there. But they will not commit.
Mm.
When a girl doesn't commit, fellas, we got to stop chasing.
She don't commit, you must acquit.
Must acquit.
Don't be a hound, fellas.
Put them in a friend zone. And driving in, Michael Pittman agrees to a three-year deal to stay with the Colts. Around $46 million to guarantee. I think it's a three-year, $100 million deal. So it's a great deal for him. They hit him with a non-exclusive last week and gave them more time to negotiate and keep him in-house. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a team-friendly deal in year one. Can the Pittsburgh Steelers get it done? Can they get into the playoffs again and make some noise? Baker Mayfield. Did you think he wasn't going to get a deal by the Bucks?
No.
You didn't think
that? Get that.
Gosh, Baker Mayfield, three-year deal, $50 million in guaranteed, and Mac Jones traded for a bag of peanuts to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Don't forget the water.
And the water. That boy was a first-round pick a couple years ago. I think the Patriots moved up to, 12 or something to get him, 16?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And now he's at 6th, talking about value dropping. Chris Jones signs the deal, a huge deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's good. We'll see if they can three-peat now. And the 49ers cut Eric Armstead. Eric Armstead, they tried to negotiate and restructure this deal, and they couldn't get it done. And Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox retires from the NFL. Guys, that is some of the biggest headlines over the last 24 to 48 hours, but we got to jump into the show. But before we do, how are you, Andrew? How are you doing?
I'm 50-50, man. I don't know if any of you guys watch any fights this weekend.
Mm. Yeah, I caught a couple.
So I'm 50-50 because my guy Francis got knocked out, man. And it was a nasty knockout, too. You know when the knee bend and your head almost hit it?
Yeah.
He ain't wake up. It was that, but then I also watched this past weekend. I watched UFC, man. It was a lot of good fights, a lot of knockouts. Shout out to Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Did it again.
Took care of business, but also shout out to Cheeto, man, because he took, I'm talking about face knockout hits, and he was just keep going. But yeah, no, I had a good weekend, man. Had a really good weekend. How about you?
Were you surprised at Anthony Joshua knocked
Absolutely
your boy
not.
Out?
I was more surprised. The knockout made me more surprised that Tyson Fury couldn't handle Francis.
Right.
That's what came. That was my result of it, because Anthony made it look easy. When you watch some of the, I watched feedback from YouTubers and stuff,
yep,
and they were slowing down the video. You could see moments where it's he's just parrying, and Francis is jumping on every single parry.
Right.
So then he just said, "Oh, okay, you jumping? Bam! Hit him with the right overhand." So it's
down.
Yeah, but then when he was in
down
there with Tyson.
Down goes Francis.
He's out for the count.
I was surprised. I was like, damn, Anthony Joshua, because he's had a couple of lackluster outings the last couple of two fights. The last two fights he lost. So I was like, maybe Francis would be, a little bit of a better matchup. But nah, he got
knocked off.
In the second round. Yeah, I'm not surprised that happened. I'm surprised that it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, big to do. You know, so many people flew over to see this. And they do a great job putting on fights over there.
Right, in Riyadh, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Saudi's
the spot.
Come on. Come on.
Was there did any of you get to see anything with South Beach? I'm interested to know since the new Miami Spring, but I did see some news reports over the weekend where people are like, man, this sucks. Like,
really? Yeah. Oh, so people still came.
Well, because remember the announcement was like 2 weeks ago. Right. But you got people who were planning their trip from 6 months ago.
Right. Oh,
wow. So they said, we still going to go. But they were down there and they just a lot of negative commentary because I guess, you know, it's not wild like it used to be.
Miserable.
So I was wondering if any of you got the chance to touch down there. I didn't get to go down there.
Yeah, I actually went down there Thursday night for dinner, and it felt slow. I don't think I went down there Friday. Maybe I went down there Friday. Maybe it was Friday. But I went down there, and I was like, yeah, this sucks.
Yeah,
yeah, it sucks. I mean, it was so easy to get over the bridge. Mm-hmm. There wasn't no traffic. It was easy.
Damn. Yeah, it's over.
Goodbye, really spring break.
So for you guys listening to us right now on SiriusXM, Andrew just brought up South Beach. The reason why he brought up South Beach is because Miami broke up with the Spring Breakers. Spring break has been a thing for a very long time. Spring break in Miami. If you come down, you have a great time. Or you could get shot and other things.
Another thing.
Drugs. Yeah. We ain't going to make light of it. But Miami said we had enough. And they put out a campaign. Shot a whole commercial.
Yeah.
Whole commercial for this and said, we are done with you.
It's not us, it's you.
Yeah, that's what they said. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do in spring break. Nobody wants to go back to Daytona.
Right.
Didn't y'all say like
too far. It's not popping.
Cocoa Beach.
That's where they're going to have to start building. Los Olas about to get taken over, I tell you that much.
No. Right. And then move it up to Fort Lauderdale. Take it down to Key West or something. I don't know.
Nah, bro. That's going to create traffic. One lane highway down there.
It ain't going to be the same.
Scratch that.
But guys, we got another breakup. We got to talk about this.
Who broke up with who?
But Russell's on the rebound. He got a rebound, man. We start with big news overnight in the NFL. Russell Wilson is going to Pittsburgh on a one-year deal on the veterans minimum, which, Brandon, you brought up last week. And he's going to be playing for the Steelers. That is because Denver is paying Russ a $38 million to basically play in Pittsburgh. So let that sink in real quick. Now, maybe the most interesting part of this signing is that the Steelers' odds to win the Super Bowl did not change. So odds makers aren't buying the Russ factor. What are the Steelers with Russ at QB1? Bruh, capital letters did not change.
Jeez. They said no effect.
Damn.
Well, here's the deal. Pull up their record from last year. They definitely got better. I'm surprised that the odds didn't change because Russell Wilson comes in. If Russell Wilson plays the same that he played last year, he makes his team better. Now, I'm not saying that Russell comes in the way that offense played in Denver last year and they're now contenders, right? Because it was very conservative. You know, it's third down, we're throwing screens, we're doing draws, getting the red zone. What the hell are we doing? But he threw for what, 28 touchdowns? What was it, 28 touchdowns?
26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Let me get that right. I keep asking you that now. I just don't remember it. 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He was, what, second in the AFC in touchdown passes before he was benched. This dude had a really good year. So you can't tell me that Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers doesn't make the Pittsburgh Steelers better. Had an opportunity to get a little inside scoop, and it seems like they had a phenomenal meeting. Spent a couple hours together, he and Coach Tomlin, and they just fell in love with each other. I think Coach Tomlin did what Coach Tomlin always does and, you know, just motivated Russ and said, this is where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Russ, before he got to Pittsburgh, stopped in New York. Spent some time, a lot of time, with the Giants, and he enjoyed it. He thought, you know, this is something that he probably could have done the first time around. He didn't spend a lot of time going through the process like he did this time. Meaning, when he left Seattle, he didn't sit down with teams and, you know, go visit. He didn't do that. So, I knew he fell in love with the process. And it was eye-opening for him to sit down with teams, to get into their thought process, and to see what they want, what direction they wanted to go. So I was surprised that it happened this fast. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I thought it would take a little longer because I thought he was enjoying it a little bit. I thought he was enjoying being courted. There was his phone was ringing off the hook.
Mm.
a bunch of teams. The Raiders called. You know, I'm surprised he didn't go spend time with the Raiders. You know, obviously the Steelers, the Giants. You know, there's some teams that called now.
Is there any insight you could give us on these conversations?
I feel like you knew like, a little bit ahead of time. You was on that Pittsburgh Steeler train early. Yeah. Did you have a little head start?
A little birdie? No, little birdie. Well, listen, obviously, I mean, we all was talking about the same thing, reporting the same thing, and it was, hey, here are the teams, right? So I think that was easy. There was no little birdie. But you guys do know I talked to Russ and people in his camp, and so, like, everything that was out there before was true, right? Like, these teams were the teams that, you know, had their eye on Russ. But no, nothing really to report. I'm just mad. Like, fuck. I'm calling Russ. I'm in a group text with Russ and Sierra yesterday. And I'm hitting them up on something else. I'm like, hey, guys, blah, 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 blah. And then Russ is like, Pittsburgh. And I'm like, what about Pittsburgh? When? When is it happening?
You should have just been like, I was
he
born
said,
here.
Now. I'm like, what? So then I pick up my phone. I'm like, let me call this guy.
Yeah.
So I call him and I'm like, so what's happening? He said, bro, I said, when is this happening? He said, now. Like, go check my Instagram and call me back. So I like hang up the phone. I'm watching this damn video. The video was great. It was a really good video. Good announcement. Great announcement. I enjoyed it. Gave me chills as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But then I'm like, damn, bro, I could have broke the damn news.
You know what I mean? Like,
what the fuck? Russ, let me break the news. Whoa.
Right?
Like, we struggling in these streets. New media, we're trying to get the bag.
Throw it down the bone, man.
Hey, Russ was like, yo, I gave you the exclusive. I can't give it all to you. He probably wanted the motion and all the traffic to go to his Instagram. But Russ, let us break the news. You got Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and them boys getting the scoop before us, baby.
Should have did a collab post on Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, everybody want to know this, B. When you taking them to Squirrel Hill, Allentown, the Strip District, Mount Washington. you taking Russ around town?
The first stop we going to is Larmer Ave. So I hit up Russ. I was like, so what we going to do from a content standpoint? You know, you want to talk? He's like, yeah, I'll probably lay low. You know what I'm saying? It's probably best for me to put my head down and focus on football, you know, and that's really – it's always been his approach, and most of his content or his whatever he had to say or ever had to say usually comes out on his social. But I was like, hold on now. Because I saw, I made a statement last week and then we posted it and I saw that you saw the post, me talking about we're taking Russ to the hood.
Yeah.
I said, so when we doing that? He said, "Well, my phone's blowing up right now. I gotta go, but I kind of like that. I like that. So, that's just happening.
Yeah, we need.
There's no way I'm gonna say that publicly, you know, and a guy that I know have access to, and it doesn't happen. So the first stop is going to be Larmer Avenue, go 241 Mayflower Street, and we're gonna sit up there. I'm gonna have my people come out, whip up some great food for him. Hey, we gonna have Sierra, you gonna come, right?" And all the babies are going to be on the block. So it's going to happen.
A little OTG in Pittsburgh.
A little OTG. Yes. Okay. I am athlete on the go. There you go.
I heard you.
Look, there we go. Well, let's get it.
Well, let me ask you this then. So Russ, remember, he told you 5 years, 2 chips.
Yep.
You think he getting one in Pitt?
Well,
at least.
Let's be honest.
I mean, let's also pull back. Russ said he got 7 more years. This is a 1-year deal. Let's say he even get a 3-year deal.
Is it a 1-year deal? I don't know.
Yeah, it says 1 year.
Yeah, it's 1 year, 1.2.
Yeah, that's year one. All right, we'll see what happens.
So unless he signed like a 5-year deal, I mean, he could go on to another team later.
Yeah,
half
he could.
Career.
But listen, this is a great opportunity for Russ. Look, I'm not ready to make that comment now. Look, he has the reality is, can he win a Super Bowl or two? Absolutely, he can. Mm-hmm. Right, if everything goes right. You know, but there's a lot that he has to work through and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, Patrick. Forget, before we even get to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, think about the division. The Cleveland Browns, they just went out this weekend and acquired Jerry Jeudy. Was it this weekend or was it Friday? They got Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. All right. They went and got Elijah Moore the year before from the Jets. You got Deshaun. So this puts more pressure on that offense because defensively they're the best defense in football. Right? They got to the playoffs, made a little noise with Joe Flacco towards the end of the season, down the stretch. Then you got the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow, he ain't going away.
Nowhere.
And then Lamar Jackson, the MVP. So they got to make it out of division first, but it's a tough division, and it's possible, right? Look what Coach Tomlin has been able to do without him or even a noodle arm Ben Roethlisberger down the stretch of his career. Yo. It was like true, right? So now you bring in Russ, who had a great year, a good year last year, statistically, really good year last year. All right, you put him into this situation. You got the TJ Watts of the world and, you know, the dogs on that side. This young George Pickens, like that receiver, I think he makes him better. I think George Pickens now is in a position to be in a top 10 conversation at the wide receiver position. And if he has a huge year, you know, and he really listens, he takes coaching, he can find himself in top five.
I believe in that. I actually see a scenario where this looks like a similar Aaron Rodgers, Devontae. I had one other guy that I wanted to name. But so speaking
well,
of
let me do this because I feel like I BC asked me a real question.
And go ahead.
I skated around the damn question. And I can't do that in media. So as a friend, do I believe Russell Wilson? So as a friend and also a guy who knows football, do I believe Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl this year or with the Pittsburgh Steelers, however long he stays? And I the answer is yes, because I believe in Coach Tomlin. I believe in the Rooney family and I also believe in Russell Wilson as a quarterback, still playing at a high level. Now, they have to get their offense, right? Hit it in the right direction. Like, offensive line, what are you guys going to do there? Do they need to add another playmaker or not? Right? So do I believe? I absolutely believe. But they have their work cut out for them. The division is hard, and the AFC is stacked. And so from a football, pure football standpoint, I don't see the Pittsburgh Steelers winning the Super Bowl this year. I don't see it. I don't. And that's hard for me to say because of my alliance and my relationship with Russ. But if we're going to be honest, or not even honest, if I'm going to give my opinion, I'm going to give my opinion. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, it's their division to lose, BC.
Yeah.
100%. Right? You got to be honest here. Then you also got to, you know, even the other end of the contender spectrum, you got those boys down in Houston, C.J. Stroud.
On the way.
Right, and that's the other end. We ain't talking about Joe Burrow. We ain't talking about Josh Allen. Right. We ain't talking about those other guys, Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So can it get done? Yes, it can get done.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. And so I think this is one of those situations where we got to wait and see. Right?
Right.
Let's see how things progress through training camp and preseason. Then let's see how September, October goes. That's what I want to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But for people out there saying, even Vegas saying that he doesn't make them better is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The play they got at the quarterback position the last couple years was trash. Trash.
True.
So he absolutely makes this team better. And I think you're going to get a different Russ. I think when Russ leaving from Seattle to Denver, and any guys in this type of position, it comes with a lot, man. You walk in that building, everything is under a microscope. And then we start losing, everything is scrutinized. And you start being a shell of yourself, or you walk on eggshells, and no one wants to live that way, wants to play that way. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, what do I have to lose? If I'm Russ, I'm like, what the hell do I have to lose? What do I have to lose?
Yeah.
all that, sitting in the box, you know, saying the right things, being diplomatic, all that, man, that's out the door. I'm here to win games, period, period. Yeah. So
come with an edge, come with an edge. Which organization would you say is more tougher or like a rougher organization between Seattle, Denver, and Pittsburgh? I would think Pittsburgh because of that culture, the fan base, Tomlin. I would like to get your opinion though on that.
It's interesting. I would say Denver.
Harden him a little bit.
I would say Denver. Denver, there's a lot of chefs in the kitchen, right? New ownership. The Walton family, they own Walmart.
Yeah, that's new.
All right, so they're a little, there's something, the gentleman that's running the organization, you know, he doesn't come from sports. He comes from corporate America and he kind of run it. It sounds like he's a great guy, but it's like now, right now. I want it right now. Mm-hmm. Impatient, right?
Probably a margin guy, right? Numbers.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then you have Coach Payton that they brought in. Ego guy. So that's tough. But don't forget about who? John Elway's also still around. And also Peyton Manning. Mm. So think about all those chefs in the kitchen. So everybody got their perspective. There's a bunch of people who's been extremely successful, whether in business or on the field. And everybody, this is what we should do. This is how we should do it. And then you got a little Russ sitting right there. So I would say the Denver Broncos for that reason. The Seattle Seahawks, smooth. That culture that they put in place with Coach Carroll was smooth, was easy. Mm. And the same I would say for Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh is a rough organization. I think Coach Tomlin is the type of coach that I would want to play for. Come in, do your job. If you act like a pro, I'm going to treat you like a pro. You act like a man, I'm going to treat you like a man. But it's clear we're here to – We're here to work. We're here to play football, win games, period. So,
guys, I just want to get your opinions on this, but I actually have some breaking news coming out that, and we know that today, this whole week, kind of, we're going to get a lot of this breaking news, but we have DeAndre Swift actually going to the Bears on a 3-year deal. So, we definitely know that Saquon won't be in Chicago. DeAndre actually played for Philly last year, but prior to that, he had 3 years in Detroit. What's your thoughts on this?
I ran into Swift at the Super Bowl, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised that his season ended the way it did. Because if you go back the first couple of games, the first game, they didn't use him. Then they used him maybe on the second game, I believe, and he had damn near 200 yards. Like, he got off to a great start. And then they started – I don't know what they started doing. But they didn't feed him the way I thought they would, given the start that he had. Mm-hmm. So I'm surprised that the year went the way it did for him and that he is no longer an Eagle. It felt like it was a great, great pickup for the Philadelphia Eagles. You see some of his early, like, the games, it was like 2-3 games that he started, like, and they started dicking him around.
Yeah, I mean, early on in the season, it looked like he had like 175, 130, and then he went a ton of games. I don't even know. He never made 100 yards past that again.
What are we doing?
That's crazy for a running back.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Bills three-time Pro Bowl left tackle Deion Dawkins is signing a 3-year, $60 million extension per sources. Deion Dawkins is a guy that trains right around the corner. Deion Dawkins, let us break the news. Deion Dawkins. I hit him up. He's supposed to be coming in here to check out the facility. Deion Dawkins, we could have broke the news. But congratulations to Deion Dawkins.
Yeah, congrats.
He deserves that. That's a great deal for him. $20 million a year. That's a big deal. A lot of guys getting paid. Yeah,
paid.
About to get paid. Big bag.
Paid in full.
Paid in full.
One of my favorite movies, by the way. So we got Baker Mayfield also getting paid. Yet again, the Bucs are giving Baker $50 million guaranteed on a 3-year deal. The news sparked a debate on social media, though, because giving Baker the money as your franchise QB or trade for Justin Fields was the question, right? So Justin Fields is still a member of the Bears. Do you Would you rather Baker or Justin?
Baker Mayfield in this situation. Oh. It makes a lot of sense. Familiarity. Coach Todd Bowles went out there and got this guy. And, you know, they had success. Now, the thing that we have to watch is, can he sustain the success, the start of this new success, the second wave of success, because his offensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. But, yes, it makes sense to keep Baker Mayfield over Justin Fields because the guys like him, and he did a great job. And shout out to Baker Mayfield, right? Like, this is, like, probably the only guy that I, outside of Jay Cutler that I was very vocal about in a negative way. Mm. It's like, dude, like, sit your ass down, grow up type situation. Yeah. Like, you're doing this to yourself. But Baker Mayfield was traded to the Carolina Panthers, then cut, picked up by the Rams. All right? Didn't go back there, then came to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and now, after year one, signed a 3-year, $100 million deal. You talk about a bounce back. That's a phenomenal bounce back.
For excellent, real. Excellent work.
Bet on himself, but went out there, produced, and got the check.
Got the check. Got the check. Got the check. Mike Evans is back. Let's see what happens with Tampa Bay. That division, it's not a strong division. You know, see if they can get that defense back playing championship consistent football. And then offensively, you know, I'm not sure what direction they're going to go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see Tampa Bay put it together.
Just want to throw this out there because I thought he did a great job, but Baker actually had one of his best years last year, 4,044 yards, 28 TDs, and 10 INTs.
How many yards?
4,044, yeah, most he's made. So shout out to Baker too. But I also wanted to know, how should Fields be feeling as the situation drags out? Like, he's still on the Bears. We know, like, 2 weeks ago he was releasing videos, doing interviews on podcasts. Seemed pretty much like he wanted to go to Atlanta. So, like, where should Fields' mindset be right now?
You're anxious, right? New league year is upon us. You're seeing movement already. Baker gets signed. Get his deal done. Russell Wilson was able to get the permission to talk to teams early, and now he's headed to Pittsburgh. So you're getting anxious. You know, you want it to happen right now. And you're also probably nervous. He's probably nervous because right now Chicago don't want you. Mm-hmm. They want Caleb Williams. Atlanta want you, but they want you as plan B. Because they want Kirk Cousins. So you're nervous, you know, you're anxious, but you got to hold tight, you know. There's a lot of opportunities out there still, and we'll see what happens with Justin.
Well, we definitely know Minnesota needs a quarterback now.
Well, no, we don't know that.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, Kirk they still Cousins. Have Josh Dobbs, right?
No, Kirk Cousins is still Cousins. There. I mean, well, Kirk Cousins, I mean, they're still in play with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I get
they're
what you're saying. Yeah, it's, not, anything signed.
Yeah, they're still in play with Kirk
Cousins.
Because
Kirk
is, well, I'm just saying in the case he goes to Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think the Bears playing around. They might F around and keep Fields and trade that pick for some assets or some other.
Man, they're not keeping Fields.
They're not keeping Fields?
No, the owners will be fired.
No, they want Caleb. Ryan Poles would probably
you can't fire the owners.
No, the owners will be fired. Like, what? This is the owner's decision. What do you can't? You like all this talk about Caleb Williams being this good,
and
whatever, and Justin Fields is struggling, and then you pass on him? Come on.
Yeah, that would be malpractice for sure.
Right, because didn't they pass on Patrick Mahomes too? Isn't that they were one of the teams too? Needed a quarterback, and I think they took. What they took the Trubisky.
I think I remember looking that up. That's crazy over Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, it happens. It happens, but.
Yeah, you can't predict. You can't predict. But, BC, we have some more fortunate news with our former or soon to be probably former running back.
I'm sad.
We say it again?
I'm sad.
Yeah, me too.
It's looking bleak. It's looking bleak.
Why? What happened? Is he on a move?
Well, Jordan Rannon is reporting that there are three teams seriously interested in Saquon. The Bears, the Ravens, and the Chargers. He added, the Eagles and Cowboys are both interested but unlikely to meet Saquon's demands. However, Philly is the betting favorite to land Saquon on most betting outlets. I need you to rank these five teams best on the based on the best match for Barkley. Bears, Ravens, Chargers, Eagles, Cowboys.
Well, I can't remember all the teams you threw out there, but the Chargers is exciting. Place for Saquon. You got Harbaugh and you got Greg Roman. Greg Roman, he was the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. And this is me thinking about Saquon. Now, I wouldn't love him as my offensive coordinator as a wide receiver, but as a running back, I would be in love with Greg Roman. Greg Roman does a great job of dialing it up when it comes to the running game. Mm. And so now you have him, you have Harbaugh, and also you have Justin. So you know Justin, he rolls out of bed, throws for 4,000 yards, which means it's easier on the run game. So I would be excited to sit with the Chargers and hear their plans and how they'll use me if I'm Saquon Barkley.
Damn it.
The Ravens would be two for me because of just the situation, Lamar Jackson and their commitment to running the ball. So, and also commitment to open it up more. They did that last year. So now you have a balanced offense. And now they're probably going to go out there and get another young wide receiver, invest in another pass catcher, which opens it up more for a Saquon. So the top two for me would be the Chargers. And I'm not saying, oh, go to the Chargers. What I'm saying is, no, spend time with the Chargers. Mm. See what the plan is. I mean, you're in L.A. So now you're in another big market. You're with some legendary coaches. Greg Roman commits to running the ball, does a great job there, going back to his San Francisco days, then going to the Raven days. So I would have a real conversation there. Ravens obviously is exciting. Now the Philadelphia Eagles, because of Swift going to the Chicago Bears, there's an opening there at the running back position. That makes sense.
That scares me.
I don't think the Eagles going to be strong this year.
No, I don't think so either. But putting Barkley in that backfield, seeing him in the damn division with the Eagles would be enough for me. I'd be like, ah. But then, you know, they may come out there and produce. They might have a different squad this year. Who knows? I don't know. I don't think they're going to do too much either, but yeah.
P, you brought up something. I want you to finish your list, though. So you have the Chargers, Ravens, Phillies, and then I have a question about the process.
Yes.
You want me to ask it? So with the process, outside of meeting with the teams, what would you suggest as 2 to 3 things a player should do to make that final decision? Is it going out into the city? Is it going to a restaurant? Is it just seeing, like, is this the environment? Like, what do you suggest as a player to go when you get that meeting? What else should you do in that city to determine if you should be there?
Nothing. It's all about football for a lot of these guys. I think when you're older, right, like when you're an older guy and you have kids and you're married, and I think Saquon, I'm pretty sure he has a lady or married and kids, but he's still trying to get that big one. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's all about football for him. Other guys might be in different situations when you're like aging out and you already got your big contract or two. So for Saquon, he's looking at salary cap. You're looking at offensive line. You're looking at the brand of football that they put out there and if it's a great fit. And then you're spending time with teammates, right? You go out with some of the leaders on the team to a restaurant or so. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the city. It's more so about the fit, the personality fit, or these guys that I can vibe with, that I can go out in the city with, right? But I think it's all ball. And you're just looking at, you know, the scenarios there. When you're a quarterback, now you're looking at the division. You're looking at different things. You're looking at ownership. You're looking at management. You know, so it changes from guy to guy and from position to position.
But it wouldn't make a difference with, like, media, things like that? Because you always bring those things up. So I'm wondering, like, if if I'm coming from New York, do I want another big market? Yeah. I get what you're saying about the age. You might just go to some Midwest team and just play out the rest of your contract and retire, right?
Those things, like, of course you look at those things. And those things come into play when it's the football is, like, equal or close. It's like, damn, do I want to go to Green Bay? It's great. The money is the same, right? Probably going to get the same amount of touches. But damn, L.A., it's the same in L.A., but it's L.A.
It's L.A. Right?
So for sure you look at it, you know, but every guy is different. Again, it's just like, where are you at in your career? Do you have your money? Do you have that stability? Mm-hmm. Have you won a Super Bowl? Do you want to win a Super Bowl? Does that matter? Right? So, you know, I think it's case by case.
I got you. And the longer that this whole situation with Saquon drags out, right, is it a good thing or a bad thing for Giants as a whole?
It may not matter. It may not matter because if the Giants wanted Saquon, they would have already signed Saquon. Saquon he's been saying this all his career, but definitely over the last year, I want to be a Giant for life. So, you know, it doesn't seem like they care. Yeah. They certainly don't have a sense of urgency.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling too. It's like, what do they know or what do they see that they're off of Saquon already? You know what I mean? Because you just don't get Saquon Barkley's just falling off the truck. You know what I mean? So what is it that they are seeing that gives them this position of like, well, okay, we'll let you go. We can just easily replace you with some, like, I don't understand that train of thought.
Like, do they see a Bijan Robinson coming down the pipeline that we don't know about?
Well, we saw the running back position is devalued, right? Like, it's not worth anything anymore. That's it feels true. Like, to me, it is. As a wide receiver, player, you know, I value it. But from a business perspective, that's what they're seeing. Like, yeah, I can go get this production in a draft or even in, you know, the second round of free agency.
Maybe that's what maybe that's what they're banking on. But, again, you're looking at the other free agents, I mean – Barkley runs the ball. He can pass catch. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
They have the fifth pick. I mean, there's not really any big name running backs coming up, but I don't know if that's their plan, but I think they should fix that O line.
Quick.
So, guys, everyone is waiting for the Kirk Cousins decision to be made because many believe it will start the dominoes falling in the free agency. There's a report out now that is between three teams: Minnesota, Atlanta, and Denver. B, let's assume he leaves Minnesota. Should Cousins choose the ATL or should he choose the Mile High City?
I think if Kirk Cousins, if he doesn't tear his Achilles, Kirk Cousins is right there with Tua and those guys as far as statistics. As a huge year, coming off another huge year. Kirk Cousins, probably his best choice is to stay in Minnesota. If he doesn't, then I like Atlanta. I don't love Atlanta, but I like Atlanta because of the running back, because of the new head coach, Raheem Morris. I think that's a good situation for him. But if I'm Kurt, I stay.
I can see that.
I stay. Like, familiarity is, like, it's critical. When you start bouncing around, hell, you might, you know, expectations change. People look at you differently. They don't know you. He might find himself in a Russell Wilson situation. In 2 years, they, like, get his ass out of here, right?
Yeah.
And it's not even all on him, right? So if I'm Kirk Cousins, I stay in Minnesota.
I agree with you there because, I mean, he's had some of his best seasons. Almost every year he's been there, he's had 4,000 yards. And I know he got injured this year and he had 2,300, 18-5. So, yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. So we got some bad news, but we talked about this a little bit at the top of the show or right before. The Mac Jones era in New England is officially over. So Mac Jones was a former first-round pick and was traded to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick. Yes, I did say six. He will now become the backup for Trevor Lawrence, and his days of being a starting QB could be over. Did Mac fail the Patriots, or did the Patriots fail Mac?
Mm-hmm. Both. I mean, that was a terrible situation. Terrible, terrible situation that Bill Belichick and company put Mac Jones in. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know the situation?
Yeah, trying to follow up Tom
Following
Brady.
Up behind Brady?
No, not that one. Not
oh,
that
okay, because
no,
I'm no. like, nobody.
Who do they have coaching him?
Bill Belichick.
No.
No, the OC?
Yes.
Oh, oh, your guy.
Matt Patricia, a defensive coordinator. defensive guy. And Joe Judge, special teams coach. Were they like co-offensive coordinators? What the hell are we doing? That's Bill Belichick's one of his little sayings, right? That people always mimic all the players. Like, what are we doing? You gotta hit his ass back with that. Bill Belichick, what were you doing? Are you kidding me? You're the greatest coach of all time, and I'm not going to take that away from you. But man, did you have us questioning you for a moment there? Like, are you kidding me? You gonna wait till the end of your career, Bill Belichick, to do something like this? Mm. What are we doing? So, Bill Belichick put him in a terrible position. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because I was thinking about this yesterday, and I don't know why I was wasting any time or any energy thinking about Mac Jones.
Like, you ain't getting those
just
minutes
like when
back.
We spend too much time on the Giants, and I'm like, bro, no, I don't care about I'm just saying, it's for you guys, but who do we really ratings go up, stay the same, or go down when we talk
about the Giants, man?
Man, we got the real Russ factor
in a
here,
big
man.
Market.
But at the end of the day, man, and this is what I was thinking about yesterday with Mac Jones. It's like, bro, your destiny needs to be in your hand. At the end of the day, you still got a ball, no excuse. We get paid big bucks to go out there and compete and win and be dogs, be savages. And I never let any coach or any situation – you know, determine my production. Like, to me, that's on me. And the way that look was, it wasn't just on Sunday or just in practice. It was like in meetings. Like, this shit doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Let's make it make sense. And I was comfortable in those uncomfortable situations. Like, what are we doing here? This isn't good football.
Yeah.
Do we not see this? And so it's tough for players, especially young quarterbacks in a programs like that. Like, did he have the power? Did he feel comfortable pushing back on a Bill Belichick or Patrick, whatever the dick guy, what's his name is, Joe Patricia? Judge and Matt Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing here, guys? So when you look up, and if you don't push back and you don't try to hold your coaches accountable and you try to play the traditional route, you go from being a guy that a team moves up in the draft to get in the first round to being traded off for a six-rounder. Couple years later, that's you have to live with that. That's your legacy. So it's on both of them. Bill Belichick failed Mac Jones. You, what the hell are we doing, Bill Belichick? I'm not one that's going to go out here now and say that you're not a great coach, that you're not the GOAT, that you're not the best. But what the hell was that, Bill Belichick?
Yeah, that was okay? Crazy.
And Mac Jones, what the hell were you doing throwing interceptions like that? You're like had a blindfold on, just. Throwing it up. Bro, it was bad. It was bad. Some of these things were bad. He looked scared at times. He looked nervous. He looked fragile, timid. Your ass looked like he looked like a quarterback that plays at Virginia Tech or something. He didn't even look like a quarterback that came from Alabama.
Yeah, right? With the big conference that Alabama plays in. But let me ask you this too then. So who would the Patriots need at their QB position to be relevant again? Like,
it doesn't matter. I mean, who do they need? They just need a guy. So, I mean, I can't, like, sit here and say this guy, that guy. They just need a guy, right? You know, Justin Fields, obviously, is still available. But then in the draft, and there's a lot of people saying the kid from LSU, this could be his landing spot. You go get that guy, now you're now you partying. This dude can do it all. His touch on a deep ball, his touch, just like he can throw it so many different ways, so many different velocities, and he can take off and kill you on the ground. So they get that guy, could be interesting, right? And they got some money to play with, and they got a new energy. So there's a couple options they have.
I got you.
The Patriots.
Well, we wish them the best, but we got more breaking news, man. Today,
more
this
breaking
week is
going
to be crazy. We got breaking news right now that Pollard is going to the Titans. So we're, you know, we kind of wondering, is Henry going to Dallas? And my question to you B is, does Henry make them almost instant favorites to win the Super Bowl?
So who do we have? What's the breaking news?
Pollard, Tony Pollard is going to the Titans. Does that mean Henry going to Dallas?
Ooh.
Almost a trade.
Wow.
So the question is, does Henry make them instant Super Bowl favorites to win?
No.
Wow. Nothing at all? He doesn't move the needle for the Cowboys?
Yeah, he moves the needle, but we're talking about a running back, an aging running back. You know, making them instant contenders. No, he makes them better, right? You know, he makes the job easier. He can make the job easier for Dak Prescott, you know, and others. Having a run game, man, it just takes a lot of pressure off of the offensive coordinator, takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback, takes pressure off of, you know, a CeeDee Lamb-like. And when it gets to, you know, January, December, January, you can lean on that run. And he's that type of running back. And he looks phenomenal. He looks phenomenal. Have y'all seen King Henry?
No.
His training videos? Man, that dude looks great. He's taking care of himself. It's like he reminds me of like a Matt Forte and even Adrian Peterson. These guys will work out for the rest of their lives. Like, you got to drag me. But I just need to have a little team around me to keep going. I take care of myself, but it's a lot of work and it's tough. Hold yourself accountable. These guys eat weights. Oh. And I'm saying that because that's a big part of it. Like, longevity, you gotta really love what you're putting in your body and the commitment to recovery and a dedication to lifting weights and running. And Derrick Henry, he looks better this year than he did last year in the offseason. Looks phenomenal.
I think this is where the game starts to meet the knowledge, right? So, like, maybe that's about the place he's in his career. But we know that the Cowboys' offense was actually way better than the Titans. So, if Henry does have a monster year this year, right, Cowboys' O-line, are they going to be any good, though?
We'll see. We're talking way too deep football right now.
Can't trust them.
Way too deep?
Yeah, way too deep.
Way too far down?
You say can't trust them?
Can't trust them. We shall see. Let's wait till, you know, we get into those off-season discussions. Let's get into training camp, all that. Yeah, then we'll see a little something. But my too early prediction, can't trust them, B.
Can't trust them. Listen, it's a good, but it is a good pickup, though, BC,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You like,
I mean, it? Would, what?
Can you say something nice about the Cowboys, bro? Like,
don't force them.
I mean, I like.
You Navy. Like their star?
I like navy blue.
And you know what's funny? I know he probably just want navy blue on a New York Yankees fitted. That's how New York,
I like
BC
navy
is.
Blue. Nah, man. Cowboys. I just go against the Cowboys, man, because I just think we put way too much stock. This America's Team thing has got to stop. It has got to stop.
It really does.
The Chiefs
and
are America's
Team. They're also
right
in our
now.
Division, BC.
Yeah, they're in our division. It's just bandwagoners.
But Cowboys. Yeah, we'll let you guys know if there's any more breaking news, anything like that. But we actually had a wild story coming out of Vandy, of all places. We got a clip here that we're going to play. Listen to the sound from former Vanderbilt QB Mo Hassan involving the Italian mob in fixing football games.
What?
I was approached at Jason Aldean's bar in Nashville by the Italian Bob.
What?
To fix football games.
I don't be like, honest. This sounds like a story like that the mafia? I do not need to be a part of.
I went to get drinks. And so I'm alone right now. I'm not with my friend group. He comes up to me.
Wait, he knew you, who you were?
Yes.
This is already a bad start.
He offered me $300,000.
He offered you $300,000?
All right.
He said, for something like this, my, you know, my clients, 250 to 300K for a game.
The Italian Mob offered you 300K to do
Can
what?
Can we stop saying that?
He said, we regularly talk to guys in your position about fixing games. He said he named guys in the SEC who I don't want to say their names because they're in the NFL right now, and that's a bad,
bad deal.
It's a bad deal. But University of Alabama, I will tell you that.
Holy crap.
He said, what? He said almost every game in the SEC is rigged.
Too much for me.
So
who is
first
this
of
guy?
All, first of all, is Mac Jones still rigging games? No, but he's the QB, former QB at Vanderbilt. His name is Mo Hassan. So, B, what's your thoughts on this? By the way, I stay with the gentleman in the middle.
Right.
Right. I'm with him. It's like, why are we talking about this, guys?
BC, what was your takeaway?
My takeaway was like, why are you even bringing this to the boy? I don't even want to talk. I didn't even know they were still out here putting the pressure on them like that. I didn't even know they were still doing it. They active. I'm like, homeboy. Why are we even talking about this? Yeah. Why are you even bringing this up?
He was really nervous. He was like,
they might pull up on him just for telling the story. They might pull back up on him.
He said, man, I feel like this isn't a conversation I need to be a part of. And then he brought it back up. And he was like, why are you bringing him up again? Why are you doing? What are you doing? Bro, but I see why this guy is like not in the NFL. He just sound, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can believe this guy.
Yeah, he don't sound too thorough.
What he said, half the games in the SEC is rigged?
He said all.
All?
That's what he said.
I mean.
Come on.
Mac Jones.
Big name guys. Come on. Alabama, Mac Jones, they were balling.
College football, though, I can see a lot of shadiness going on.
Oh, 100%, but not from this guy.
Mm-mm. Oh, he's not credible?
Yeah, fixed games. Vanderbilt, they lose every game. It's easy to bet against Vanderbilt. What was the record last year?
Let me look. But at the same time, that's probably why Vanderbilt, they working with the mob, man. Like, you know, they fixing games. They throwing games.
Jay Cutler was the quarterback for Vanderbilt. Maybe that's like a little thing. Mm-hmm.
Last year, Vanderbilt, it says, oh, hold on. I want to make sure I got the right record. It is 2-10 last year. 5-7 the year before. 2-10.
You want to
go,
you wanna
mob.
Win, you want to you want to win. You want to win. Bet against Vanderbilt,
right,
bro? Vanderbilt ain't have 10 wins since.
Oh no, they ain't.
They throwing games.
Yeah,
they've never had 10 wins since 1902.
If I was him, I would just forget about it.
Put them in the can't trust them bucket.
Yeah,
bro. All right, let's stay right there. Let's stay in the can't trust them bucket. LeBron is back in the news, but not for what he did on the court. During a recent Lakers game, my GOAT, LeBron, was seen courtside sitting between Linda Rambis and Jeannie Buss, guys. The three were joking, they were hugging, and then the video went viral over the weekend. It was a lot of Riz jokes on social media, so we want to get everybody involved and see what you guys think. I'm on the fence because it's like, that's the boss. But like, there is a certain amount of touchy feely that happens here. What do you guys think?
Nothing to see here. He's sitting with the boss ladies. They love him. They talking with their guy. He's their guy right now. You know what I mean? Yeah, it looked a little touchy feely, but you know, everybody's grown, experienced. If it was something, they ain't gonna do it on the front.
Like court side.
Yeah, court side, I mean. Excuse me. Like, yeah, nah, this was...
It was a little touchy, though.
It was a little touchy. Rambis was getting a little touchy, and, you know, Jeannie, you know, she wanted to lay her head on his shoulder and all that stuff.
Who was the other lady?
Linda Rambis.
She works for the organization.
She's Kurt Lakers. Rambis' wife.
Yeah.
But he's a longtime Laker. He used to play for the Lakers. He was the head coach for the Lakers for a while. He's, like, embedded in that organization. So I'm not sure what her exact position is with the Lakers, but yeah, she has a pretty prominent job there. Nothing to see here. You know, yeah, Bron was dead being Bron. He got all the riz in the world. He's chilling. Like, he's chilling. But I can see why everybody kind of like, but it's nothing. It's too, I think it's more because, you know, they saw two white women hanging on Bron and there's like, you know what I mean? But there's nothing.
Well, what's crazy is that I just learned what riz means.
Literally
last week before this video.
Oh my god.
My 9-year-olds and my 4-year-olds and my 4-year-old taught me what it was.
Riz.
Yeah, like we're out there at flag football practice and they were like, something riz. I'm like, what? I keep hearing this on social media. What is riz?
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, dad. They made this little face like, and I'm like, what? I don't know what that means. What is riz? It's like guy who gets the girls and stuff like that.
Got
like,
game. We called it. We had game. You know, that's how we got game. Riz. But now it's riz.
Riz.
Hey, like, fellas.
Where the hell did that come from?
Go back inside. Get off your porch and stop yelling at the kids. We are old.
Well, how did they come up with riz? Like,
I don't know where it originated from.
Riz, cap, lit. Like,
but that's been more.
We had words before.
Riz.
They just don't want to use our words.
Yeah, because they outdated. Just like when we was young, our words, nobody was using cat daddy. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? That. Somebody would have came up to us saying that. Like, yeah. What? Like, nah, you know, just. It changes. Riz, I fuck with Riz, man.
You know it's one that surprised me that made a spin the block? And I see a lot of ladies using it now. Mm. It rhymes with that old Nas song, Uchi Wally.
Mm.
Coochie?
Oh, that never left.
Yeah,
coochie. It did leave. For a long time, no one used that word.
Nah, coochie been around. Yeah, coochie.
It's been around, but everyone stopped using it.
Coochie ain't going nowhere.
Now you got Sexy Red putting it in every song, but yeah, no. I think to wrap this up, man, LeBron kept his arms as straight as he possibly could.
Man, LeBron was enjoying it.
Yeah, he was enjoying it, but he don't want no problems with Savannah. You know, she's gonna be
that's
right
what I'm
there,
saying. We need what Savannah got to say. We need insider right now. Savannah, hop on the Zoom.
Savannah ain't even tripping. She already know what it is. It's nothing to see here.
All right. We'll wrap it up on that. We also got big news on the court from this weekend. There was bad blood between LSU and South Carolina that led to shoving and 6 ejections. These are arguably the 2 best teams in college basketball, and now the number 1 team in the country may lose their top scorer and rebounder for the start of the NCAA tournament. What's your guys' thoughts on this?
I was traveling yesterday. I was at South by Southwest. So I didn't get a chance to watch the game live. I saw the highlights. I mean, listen, you never want to see this, especially to the point where it gets to the point where someone can be suspended for the following game and hurt themselves, hurt their team. But I will say our girls basketball right now, women's basketball is
holding
hot.
It, holding it down. They yes.
This is and you said this last week, BC. Yeah. You was like, yo, it's a great game to watch. Now it might be even better than the men's right now.
Yeah, way more exciting right now. And they got it. They got it all to the even the fights. They right. got it all.
Real quick, I'm just gonna show B the actual push that started it all. So right here, and then watch.
No, I see. I saw that.
Oh, okay,
and
you saw the push.
And coach, after I loved her her response and her comments, where she was like, "Oh, why didn't she push Angel Reese?"
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have it.
Oh,
right.
Actually, I sent it to you. I didn't know if you had gotten it, but she made some comments basically like, "Yeah, why didn't you push Angel Reese?" Because I think there was a height variation, and the person who pushed Flaja was significantly taller than her, and I just showed you the clip again. Like, she literally just pushed her to the ground. Here it is.
Yeah.
No one wants to see to see that ugliness. But I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid. You 6'8". Don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion. Let those two girls that were jawing, let them go at it.
Now, we're going too far. But look, stay right there on the edge.
Right.
Because ratings are going up daily.
Right.
Daily.
Daily.
Right. Like, I love this, man. BC, you said it last week, man. This game is hotter than men's basketball right now. I love it.
The hottest ticket right now going is women's basketball.
That's right.
You know what I mean? These college girls is going at it. They're getting it. Caitlin Clark out here breaking records. Like, yeah, nah.
All they need right now, 5 dunks per game, and that's it. I promise you, the shooters are shooting. The handles is there. I think it's just the audience wants to see dunks. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we don't yearn for it in male NBA or male basketball, but like, I think that's what would take it over the edge. But this is a great start. Right. We just don't want it to stay here. We don't want it to become like, okay, they fight every single game.
Yeah, nah.
You know, we don't need that.
We don't need WWE divas, but. No, we did. We saw.
Yo, BC one line is being insane.
I saw Flo. I'm not even sure if I'm saying her name right. Flo J. Her brother got on the court, so I know that was a little, conversation about why he jumped on the court when this took place. Like,
yeah it's like do? I guess it's yeah, instinct, like, but
let the ladies do the ladies handle their business.
Yeah, let them handle their business. No need for you to get on the court. There's officers there. Like, what are you gonna do? You gonna slap one of the girls? Like,
right,
you know what I mean? So I thought that was kind of wild that he jumped out the stands on the court.
I'm glad he ain't do nothing, because that would have been
bad for Flaugia.
Well, guys, the Eagles, we're going to announce it right now, but the Eagles are down another legend. Super Bowl champ Fletcher Cox is retiring, joining Jason Kelce, who announced his retirement last week. And Philly is coming off of one of the biggest collapses in NFL history. Can Jalen Hurts keep the Eagles among the elite, or is this another sign of the downfall?
So it's so funny. When we were talking about the running backs not too long ago, and can Saquon land in Philly, the thought that came up for me was Philly is not – the thought that came up for me was Philly will probably finish last in a division. I have them finishing right there at the bottom with the Commanders.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I do. Now, the reason why I didn't say it, right, and this is the thought, I'm still working through it, is because, well, the reason why I didn't say it then is because you do have Jalen Hurts. I was like, oh, well, you have that leadership. When you have that type of leadership, man, mm-hmm. you can pull some things out the hat and you can will yourself to victory. But when I thought about that, I'm like, I don't know if Philly and Jalen is built like that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, now it's going to be all on the offense. Defensively, I don't know how – if anybody can do it, Howie can do it. But to rebuild that defense, it was one of the biggest challenges last year. That defense wasn't mm-hmm. that defense, that Super Bowl defense. Mm-hmm. They were giving up way too much. So they're going to have to make some moves to solidify that back end. You know, they got to do a better job of stopping the run. But, man, if they can't do that, then it's a lot of that's going to be on Jalen Hurts. And so – I just don't see them playing that type of football to lead them back to the top. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it at all either. We got some other breaking news. We got, and forgive me if I'm wrong, David Bakhtiari, offensive tackle. He was just released from Green Bay. So the word goes out, like, Does the Jets need to acquire this guy this offseason to help Rodgers? He's a big Rodgers guy. Or could they also get Calvin Ridley? You know, right. Do they need more defensive help? I mean, these guys were teammates for a long time.
Well, I think the biggest thing here is, you know, new league year. So some of our favorite players, guys that we love and admire, will be cut, will be traded, will be signed. We walking out with big bags.
Right.
Right? And, you know, this is one that it shouldn't be a shocker to us. You know, over the last 2 years, been banged up. Last couple years, banged up. There was talk that he could potentially land in New York. You just brought up the Jets. Mm-hmm. Right? So I wouldn't be surprised, Andrew, if
He ends up in New York with Aaron Rodgers. And that was one of the things that where the Jets struggled at last year and the year before was offensive line and the depth there. So I think that would be a great fit for them. Put the band together. Put the band together, Aaron Rodgers.
I love that. Are the Jets healthy, like with Rodgers healthy, actually, I should say, good to roll? Like, yes. If he comes out, he's good to go, everything's healed. Are they good to roll, or does he need more help?
They're good to go. I think that they need to add another wide receiver. They need to add another wide receiver, but it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is special. And so the running back, young wide receiver, right? You solidify the offensive line. They get top five defense. They'll be fine. But if they really want to take a shot at it, which they do, they're going to go get a wide receiver. So it's interesting, man, because, I travel, and I travel a lot, people always walk up to me, a lot of Jets fans, Jets. Yeah, I love Jets. And they're like, oh, my goodness. It's so brutal being a Jets fan. Oh, my goodness, our luck, this and that. And I always say, like, well, you got Aaron Rodgers. Next year is going to be fine, right? And I don't feel the confidence pouring out of the Jets fans. Mm-mm. It's like they make this face at me when I say, well, we got Aaron Rodgers. Next year will be fine.
Yeah.
It's like they don't believe that it will be fine.
They don't.
And I don't know if I'm, like, delusional or not, but I think everything's going to be fine.
A little B. Because
I get where they're coming from.
He's what? 40 years old?
He's 39. He got on the field.
Okay. Same
difference. No, he's 40. Sorry. 40 in 100 days.
Okay. So same difference. He gets on the field. He doesn't last 76 seconds. Achilles rips. All this hype. Now you got a 40-year-old damaged QB. And you're going to put a lot of faith into him to really, really go out there and produce at a high, high level. Yes, he is Aaron Rodgers. He has the arm, but you need those legs. You need those legs to move around. You need those legs to throw the ball. I'm not sure if I'm not even a Jet fan, but I can feel how the other Jets fans feel. Like, I'm not that confident. I'm not going into it super confident that he's going to deliver us. And even the AFC, even a division title, you know, much less a Super Bowl title. Like, I don't see it.
So. Also, spoke to
defense, run game, and a top flight quarterback. I don't see why you and some of these Jets fans don't see it. Like,
think about this, D.
He ain't moving.
1968.
Like that.
I don't need him to move. I don't even need him to be the Aaron. I said this last year. I said this last year before the start of the season. I didn't need, and the Jets don't need Aaron Rodgers to come in and be the MVP, Aaron Rodgers. He needs to be a great manager. Mm-hmm. That's what he needs to be. Why? Play into what you have. Mm-hmm. Great defense. Strong running game. Can have a strong run game. Right? So just manage the game.
Yeah.
You don't need to go out there and throw it 40 times. You don't need to have 4,500, 5,000 yards passing. You don't need to do that. No. We just need to play smart, complementary football. And the Jets could find themselves in position.
He'll keep them in a lot of games, for sure. He'll keep them in a lot of games. But to go out, you want them to just manage, or you're trying to win?
I think he needs to manage and be a playmaker when he needs to be a playmaker. But I don't think the offense needs to go out there and be like, oh, for us to win, we have to have 4,500 yards. No, you have a top five defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, people barely scoring on these guys when they're in rhythm.
That's important.
You know? So now you have you insert Aaron Rodgers, and now the morale is back, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got, you know, some possessions where they're 10-play, 11-play, 12-play drives. Mm-hmm. Right, that boosts the ego of the defense even more. The confidence, they catch their breath. Man, this could be a really good team next year.
Yep. Well, let's talk about this real quick. You know, we always like to do our 2-minute drill before we get out of here. So I never got to ask.
Well,
this
we're not
question.
Getting out of here. We got some Russell Wilson soundbite. We're gonna keep playing all the Russell Wilson
material that we have because he's in the news. He's been in the news for about a week and a half, 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend, he decided to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. So we're going to play that. Can we play a little bit of that after we finish this?
We got you. Okay, we got you. We got something coming up. But my question to you before we do get to that video, should Russ be worried about Pickett at all stealing his job?
Man, if Russ loses his job to Pickett, no. He should not be worried. And if he loses his job to Pickett, then it's over. It's over. He's going to be right here on Paper Route being my co-host.
He's going to be your co-host.
He's going to be my co-host.
So then what does the Steelers do with Pickett?
They let him sit there. He's the backup. You got to develop. And if he pouts, you know, then you're obviously, you know, he's the backup.
Yeah, because
develop, I mean, sit there. That's it. You sit
pout,
there, learn.
You out.
Pout, you out.
That's it.
Powder, powder. No, I think this would be a good situation for him. Come in, see, because Russ has a amazing routine and he goes through a great process in place. So this young quarterback can learn and hell. He may find himself in a Baker Mayfield situation. Baker did it, traded, then cut, then bounced, then picked up. Hey, a year later, got $300-400 million. Hey, go through the process.
What would you rather end up like, Baker Mayfield or Mac Jones? They all got chosen the first round. So, you know what I mean? I'm just throwing that out there. Kenny Pickett, first round, 20th overall. It just seemed like this is just proving the point that you can't just draft a quarterback. Meaning, like, you still always have that rhythm of, like, a Kenny Pickett, Mitchell Trubisky, Justin Fields. Like, these guys have to grow. And I think what I'm bringing up is that we got rid of the growth stage that Aaron Rodgers went through, that Tom Brady could have gone through, but I think his – no? Our audio, they can't see Brandon's face.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you went you over my head a little at? Bit. You put on my head a little bit.
I'm saying just being able to learn.
Well, I mean, those days are gone, Woo. Those days are gone.
But now we see
you can't
guys
sit anymore.
Traded.
There's no time to develop. We got to have it now. Come in right now. Mm-hmm. Who's the next Joe Burrow? We need you right now. Damn. Right now. Right now. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
NFL
for
ready.
Let's go.
Yeah,
but anyways, listen, Russell Wilson's ready to go. He's now in Pittsburgh. Russ, pick up the phone. I will be calling you because we're going to take you on a tour on the east side. We're going to the east side, and then we'll take you to the north side. Okay? Here's some Russell Wilson sound from when we sat down with him. You probably missed it. Take a listen. I want to give you your flowers. You know, there's so much that we can talk about and we can be here forever. And we will talk about. But like when I envisioned this platform, I envisioned something counterculture to what was out there. And I envisioned a platform where it was safe for us to tell each other we love each other, cry with each other, pray with each other. And when we leaned into that, boom, it breaks through. And then also hold each other accountable as well. But there's a way of doing that. Like, it's like us in the locker room. And so I want to give you flowers because even in the midst of where football is today, you know, going into what year?
13.
Mm-hmm. Like, most winningest quarterback through 10 years. Like, numbers, facts. Walter Payton, which is to me is the most important one. That's one of those ones that I had on my vision board. Like, yo, when I lead a league, I need that. Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, All Pro, 9 Pro Bowls, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl win, right? So I want to give you your flowers from a football standpoint. But man, you're one of the best to ever do it. Also, I want to give you your flowers because I'm older than you. I'm about to turn 40.
Getting old, boy.
I know. I'm old, young, old. But, bro, like, I'm learning so much from you when it comes to being a father, being a man, right? Being a husband. Like, dog, like, you are him. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to tell you, bro, like, I don't know who in your corner tells you this, and I know Sierra, I know C do it all the time, like number one fan, y'all each other's number one fans. But like from a man, like Z, Zo, watch him, Mike Boys.
You know what I mean? So I just want to give you flowers.
Well, I think one of the things that's been, I appreciate that, first of all. I think one of the things that's been the coolest thing in my career is obviously winning the Super Bowl, but also being the second, you know, black quarterback to ever win.
You know, why is that important to you?
I think because, you know, for a lot of reasons. Number one is I remember my dad, my grandfather, who was president of Norfolk State for like 22 years. You know, he used to always talk about the history of the game, the legacy of the game. Who are you going to be? My dad used to always paint a picture. Son, what are you going to be? You know, paint the picture for me. What is it going to sound like? Who are you going to be? What are you going to do? And if I told him a story at 8-10 years old and it wasn't good enough, he's like, tell it again. It wasn't good enough. And so I remember, like, just watching the games and watching, you know, greatness and watching people before me. But I also remember, too, is knowing that the history of the game, there really was only one. Doug Williams did it, and really there hadn't been anybody else. And there's been some amazing quarterbacks from Randall Cunningham to Dante Culpepper to Michael Vick to Warren Moon to so many other African-American quarterbacks, but nobody had ever won it. So to be able to win in a 20, 30-year period, be the first one to win in a while, was a blessing in itself. And to know that I came from Richmond, Virginia, where everybody said I was too small, wasn't going to make it, wasn't going to be this, wasn't going to be that. And then all of a sudden you get to hold the trophy with a bunch of amazing teammates and everything else and know that you've accomplished that goal.
Right.
I think, too, though, is also knowing that you're helping create and open up doors for other people. You know, that's been probably the coolest thing so far in my career as I've watched how the games change. When I came in the NFL, I'm thinking about the starters, the black quarterbacks that were starters. It was me, Cam Newton. Cam Newton came the year before, Colin Kaepernick, and trying to think who else. I mean, obviously Michael Vick was in the league before that, but those are the guys that were playing at the time. I may be missing one or two other people. Tyrod Taylor came in the same year as me, mm-hmm. maybe the year before. And so it was like there weren't that many people playing, especially at my size, my height. But now to see guys getting drafted early in the first round, first pick, to see, you know, other quarterbacks, to see guys like Patrick Mahomes being the greatest he's been, and to see guys, you know, obviously Jalen Hurts,
C.J. Stroud,
you know, and just seeing guys develop, not just because of the color of the skin, but also because of the style of game, that the game's changed and developed because of great guys before me and me being one of them. But now the game's going to continue to evolve. And just knowing that you're in the middle of the evolution of the game,
right,
is probably one of the coolest parts to me personally so far in my career. And so, you know, I got a lot more goals and a lot more dreams and a lot more things I want to accomplish in this game. But just knowing that you've been a part of history has been one of the biggest blessings of it all.
So you're right, bro. Like, when you look up, it's like, man, the black quarterback is almost like the majority now, not the minority, right? Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to those that are coming in, those who just entered, like the C.J. Strouds of the world, even Jalen Hurts? You got to think about, he was just in the Super Bowl. Now they're saying he's overrated, right? Like, what advice, the best piece of advice you can give to those guys that's coming after?
I think the first thing for me, well, when I came in the league, there wasn't many of us. And so my mentality, how I had to prepare, was a certain way. I was a third-string quarterback, 75th pick overall. They had just paid Matt Flynn. And I got to go take the job.
You didn't come in with that mindset.
Come on. I had to go take the job.
Russ.
I got to go take the job.
So they just paid Matt Flynn, though. Mm-hmm. What did they give him? We might need to fact check that. Matt Flynn got, what, $40 million? What was he in, Green Bay the year before? Had a little year.
Yeah, but for me, it was more so of every day being the first one there, last one to leave, just being prepared.
Second round?
Third round.
Third round. They just paid a guy. You came in to the league thinking that you can start that first year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I knew that I was going to outwork. I was going to outwork the room. I had to. And I also knew I had the talent, too. It was just a height thing. You know, there was a lot of the knock on me was just, okay, he's not tall enough, not big enough. And so, you know, for me, it was going to be, you know, one, I was fortunate to go into a situation with great players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great teammates, great players, guys with edge, competitive. All of us were competitive. And they gave us, our class, an F grade. So me, Bobby Wagner, all F grade. They're the worst class ever. We're like, nah, we're gonna change that. We're going to set the tone. So I just believe that I was surrounded around like-minded competitors, guys who really wanted to win, guys mm-hmm. who were underdogs, guys who wanted to put in just as much. So it wasn't just me. I was surrounded around amazing people and great coaches too. So that was a huge benefit in itself. Then on top of that, I was like, you know, my mentality is I'm not going to blink. And so when I got the opportunity to play in preseason 1, 2, 3 and on, it was like, go take it. When you lace up the cleats, go take it. So that was my mentality. And I think for guys that are coming in, it's the preparation that you put into it, the obsession that you put into it, the love that you put into it, you know, and being there early, being there ready to be prepared every day. And then ultimately practice at the highest level because it matters, you know, it matters. It gets you prepared for the game. It makes the game easier.
When did you cross that point in your career where the game just slowed down, where, you know, I think about like the Tom Brady's of the world, the Peyton Manning's of the world. It's like they go out there and it's like they're laughing at the defensive court and they're laughing at everybody like, oh, I saw that. I see this is coming.
Yeah.
When we think about Russell Wilson, we think about the big plays. We think about clutch. We think about the double spin. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like 2018 is when you stepped into a space where it was like that.
Yeah, I would say that for sure. I think 2018 through 2020, really my rookie year, there was a moment that I figured out that I was ready.
What do you mean?
I was ready. Like I knew.
What does ready mean?
Like ready to me meant it's like, you know, I'm arriving. I'm here. I think it was two moments. Number one, we played the New England Patriots in Seattle. Tom's, you know, top of his career, whatever. And we play them. We're down by like two touchdowns or whatever. I bring us back. We throw two touchdowns. One to, I think, Braylon Edwards, and then one to Sidney Rice.
Yeah.
Game over. Bam. We win the game. And that was like a moment for me. Like, obviously, Tom Brady, this and that. And then, so that was my rookie year. And then I think right after that, we played you guys in Chicago. You were dominant. You were killing people. And you just were going off. And you and Sherm, I remember you and Sherm getting in a fight before the game and everything else. And y'all getting into a fight, everything else. To the most dominant, you know, corner, the most dominant receiver in the game going after it. I think you had a big game and everything else. And it
167.
Was, yeah.
167. I felt good because it was against the Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
And I felt like the game was over.
What happened was we go into Soldier Field, playing there, and we're down. And I'm checking plays. I'm calling plays, this and that. And I'm, as I'm checking them, Urlacher's like, yo, hey, he's passing here. He's doing this, da-da-da. And he's calling it exactly what I'm about to do. So I'm like thinking in my head, man, I gotta flip it up on him, you know, and change the play and this and that multiple times and flip it, so just so he doesn't know what's going on. And so then that's when I was like, okay, man, this game, the highest level players are the smartest level players. And going against Urlacher, he's, you know, one of the best to ever do it, a linebacker, you know, dominant, this and that. He's calling all this stuff out. And then we were down, we come back, we had 99 yards to go. I remember Soldier Field booming, boo, you know. I had to walk out there, here we go, 99 yards. We got about a minute and 50 seconds to go. We go 99 yards, touchdown. And I'm just calling the plays, going up and down the field, boom, 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 2 minute drill. We go score. And then 25 seconds on the clock, we're like, okay, we're gonna win this. And then you make two big time catches. You jump over everybody, catch one, and you catch another one, field goal, tie game, overtime. But then, so we win the coin toss. And that's when my mind said, I was like, night, night, time to go. And I remember it was a 3rd and 7. I rolled out left, and Urlacher's running full speed, 6'4 and a half of him running full speed at me. I kind of do a little double move, get outside the edge, and I hear him go, ah! And he tears his hamstring, actually. And we had this play called Venus Twist. I hit Doug Baldwin for first down. Doug runs a sweet route, ta-da! Breaks out, first down. And we just keep going down the drive, and then we hit Sidney Rice on the over route, touchdown. I think he gets knocked out, touchdown, game over. And so that's where things like kind of took off, and we started winning a whole bunch of games there in Seattle then, in my rookie year, and then second year, obviously go to Super Bowl and, you know, win the Super Bowl, do that.
When did you become, that? So that was when you was ready.
Yeah, so then I think, so all that happens, you know, and then we lose. So it's like, okay, you have a decision to make. So I think there's the first moment was my rookie year. Then we win the Super Bowl. Okay, here we go. Then you go back to back to Super Bowl and it doesn't go your way. Are you going to let one play, one moment define your career? Is it going to affect you mentally, impact you mentally? Is it going to take you in a downward spiral? Is it going to raise you up and elevate you? And so when we came back that season after we didn't win, didn't start off the right way. And I had to make a decision of, I'm not going to let nothing get in the way. And so you kind of become hard-shelled. You kind of become, you know, this mentally so locked in that you block out all this noise. You really learn how to do that. And that was key for me, because that's when I went on a streak of, I think, 25 touchdowns in a row, got hot. And in that season, you know, Doug was going crazy. I mean, I think, you know, Doug had like 13, 14 touchdown catches that year. Guys were making play, you know, and I just got on fire. And we just did it together. And then, so then I think that's when my career started becoming, you know, who I believed I could be fully.
When you were talking earlier, I saw Pete Carroll, like, you know, and when I study leadership, the two people that I like the most is Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. Like, if I could put both of them together, that would be me, right? I want to know how, like, what type of relationship you have, because, like, it was, like, wild to me seeing you in Seattle the next day after Pete Carroll was fired.
Yeah, it was right? The same day. I flew up there. You know, they fired him at, like, 2 o'clock. DK called me. He said, hey, man, like, you know, Pete got fired. We're going to try to do something. I said, I'm going to be up there. He said, you want what? I said, I'm going to fly up. So I went, you know, San Diego, you know, fly all the way up to Seattle.
Because it was like a little gathering. And, I saw that all the players came together.
Yeah, it was actually Richard and I think Cam have a super cool restaurant in like downtown Bellevue, you know, right where we used to live. And, you know, a lot of guys were in there. And we were all just kind of kicking it, chilling. And, you know, it meant the world to me to see Pete, because he gave.
Well, come on, this is interesting.
Yeah.
When you walked in, you got Richard Sherman there, which is interesting. And then it's also Pete Carroll. Y'all 10 years together. Like, when you walked in, like.
Well, the first person I saw, actually, when I walk in, is I see Glenna, who's Pete's wife. And she starts bawling.
Wow.
And she's just like, what are you doing here? Oh, my God, you know. And I give her a big hug, and then I see Sherm, and Sherm's got a smile on his face. So Sherm's smiling at me, you know. It's,
and oh, so Sherm, I can't understand y'all relationship.
And so then Sherm, and then we connect, and then Pete sees me, and it was just like yesterday all over again. Like, we've been there a million times, you know, in those fourth quarter games, comebacks. It was in the locker room celebrating, and it was just, I just wanted to celebrate him, because I thought that he gave me so much. In the midst of everybody talking all this noise about me and Pete, like, we've always forever been connected. He was texting me, and throughout the season and everything else, and just let me know, hey, you know, I still believe in you, this and that, I keep going, this and that, and vice versa. And, you know, we've always had a good relationship. Right. You know, he was like a father figure for me. So I never understood why people were trying to tear it down, you know. And so to me, going back to see Pete was because of the love that was there. And I got no hate in my heart. Just love. There's love in my heart. And so seeing those guys, seeing, you know, DK, Bob, all those guys, man, we're kicking it, having fun. The funniest part of the whole night was me and Sherm are leaving the spot together. It's me and Sherm, of all people, we're leaving together. I said, Pete, man, look what you've done, man. You brought me and Sherm together, man. We over here kicking it. And Sherm and I start laughing. Like, Pete, you really doing something, bring Sherm and I together. But, you know, Sherm and I have such a... you know, he was one of the greatest competitors I've ever been around. And I think he knows everything that I would do too, vice versa, for the game. And, you know, we just loved, you know, I think anytime you're a family, you know, you're in a deep way, there's always mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know, just seeing Pete again and seeing everybody was so much fun.
I feel like the things that made you guys legendary and great, before I say this, do you think 2014, 2015 were some of the best team that we've ever seen in the NFL?
Our defense was one of the best ever, I thought.
You heard about these legendary stories. I never forget this. And once I got there, I kind of understood it, but it was so counterculture to the rest of the league and different. You know, we always check in on each other. Well, how's that Russell Wilson? Or how's Pete Carroll? Or tell me about how they work, whatever. And it's like y'all competed, you know?
Every day.
Every day. And when I was there, Doug, we were doing one-on-ones, and we're out there, and I beat a corner on a particular route. We were going back and forth, and I end up, like, picking him up, shaking his hand. And then in a meeting after practice, and he's like, let me take y'all through what it is to be a Seattle Seahawk wide receiver. And they're going through this whole spiel. And then he turns around, he's like, and we don't, and using his word, we don't do this. He turned around, I'm like, I'm big dog. I'm 13, like, you check my stats. But he's like, no, we don't do that. And I'm like, it's just practice. And it was like, nah, this is how we are here. And so all these stories coming out, bro, like, you know, offense versus defense, I never really understood it until I was there. Like, and that's why I said I see Pete in you, and that's why I brought it up, is because everything that we're talking about, all, you know, some lows or some challenges, is like, how do you stay positive? You know, why is positivity so important? Because that's how Pete was. Like, when I was there, bro, like, every day he was the same
person. Well, what I also know, too, is that negativity is always works 100% of the time. You know, like, positivity definitely works, but being negative is, works 100% of the time. So I've always choose not to be negative. Like, I'm going to stay right here, be neutral. I'm going to stay right here every day. And I'm also, I'm positive by nature, but I'm going to stay right here, even in the midst of the highs and the lows. And I think that, you know, love that, you know, we all had together and went in and all that. And Pete and I were obviously super close, you know, through it all. You know, and we used to always say, got them right where we want them. Fourth quarter, got them right where we want them. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know, it was always a thing, a good relationship in that way.
Marshawn came on our show and he spoke so highly of you. Mm-hmm. And everything that you, we've seen Marshawn do over the years was always like, boom, boom, boom. You know, did you see what Marshawn said?
I think he was drinking that Hennessy that day. I don't know what he told me. I don't remember him ever inviting me to a party or whatever. But, I mean, man, I got so much love for Marshawn just because of, I mean, we were in the backfield, man. He had that 10 advisor. We would talk about plays, this and that. And just, I mean, he was, you know, he, to me, he should be a Hall of Fame football player, man. Just what he meant to Seattle, what he meant to our team, what he meant to me. You know, I wouldn't be as great as I am without him, watching him and observing him, and also vice versa, just how hard he worked. And I remember we played the playoff game in Washington. It was our first playoff game, my rookie year, boom. And we're coming back, good game. And he takes this zone read from right to left, boom, cuts it back. I said, I gotta go make the block. I take off, go make the block. He dives. I mean, those are the moments that you remember, you know, so many of them. And I mean, we balled together, man. So but yeah, man, it's just, you got a lot of respect for people, man. I think also too, for me as a player and as a man, and especially even as a black man, I just fundamentally believe that I don't ever want to talk bad about people, nor do I ever want to tear people down. I just is fundamentally don't believe in that. I believe in uplifting each other and,
why?
And believe it. Because, you know, it's hard enough to get to where we are. You know, hard enough to play in this game. It's hard enough to play long enough. It's hard enough to play at the highest level. It's hard enough to win a Super Bowl. It's hard enough to do all the things that we're doing.
So you Michelle Obama.
What you mean?
You know, she's like, when they go low, you go high. Yeah. I'd be out there like, Russ, go low, bitch. Go low. Go low, Russ.
Yeah, I just believe,
have you ever
man,
gone low in your life?
Nah, I just believe in
bro, you got to give me one story where you're going low,
man,
bro.
I don't know if I got a story going low, but I just believe in uplifting each
Michelle,
other.
Yeah,
I,
forward.
I just believe in uplifting each other, man. Like, what you've done, what you've overcome, with the things you've gone through, highs and lows. Man, that's God, man, what he's done, you know? And it's your hard work.
Yeah, but that's hard, though, bro. Like, that's hard. Like, you know, and this comes with it, obviously. And it builds, you know, those calluses that makes us, you know, amazing husbands and fathers and businessmen and women. But, bro, it's tough. When, you know, you can turn on ESPN and you hear people talking about you, or you can Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. And I think that's a superpower for you as well. And there's other cats that's done it, like Tom Brady's one of those guys, Peyton Manning, that do a really good job. LeBron, you know, he, for the most part, does a phenomenal job. Like, I feel like that's a superpower, bro. I give you flyers on that. Yeah. I give you flyers, but, bro, like, you gotta give me one story when you went low, bro. Come on, or do me this. Were you close over the past 3-4 years? Have you ever said, you know what, I'm about to go low?
No, I just think that, man, I fundamentally believe in people, even when we're at our lowest, you know? You know, we all go through stuff mentally, we all go through stuff emotionally, we all go through, but I think that God's called me and put me in this position to love, not to hate, to uplift and encourage, and to serve and to lead, even when it's easy to lead when everything's going your way.
Right.
But when it's not, Do you change up? Mm-hmm. Do you not lead the same way? Do you not love the same way? Mm-hmm. You know, and so to be in this position is the greatest gift in the world every day. And you're going to lead and you're going to love and you're going to give. And it's not just the position of quarterback. It's the position that every day that God's given me breath, I got to inspire somebody else because somebody else is struggling. Somebody else is going through something that's worse. Yeah. Somebody else is going through a challenge.
It's interesting because, you know, I'm doing this spot. We just finished a spot with, like, Patrick Sertan. It's called Behind the Drive. And, you know, we'll have our moments where I ask him how things are going and check in. And this, like, a couple guys, like, that's one of the things that dudes say is, like, yo, he's the same all the time. And I had that experience as well when I played with you. And Pete Carroll's the same way. You two are just, like, you know, hands stay steady no matter what.
But I think that's also part of leadership. I think it's part of just leading and people also knowing this is who we got. This is who he is. This is, you know, and trusting that and knowing that. And I think sometimes it's hard for people to believe, you know, to be honest with you. I think it's hard for people to understand that and how can he stay there every day. But I've been through ups and downs. I've been through challenges. I've lost my dad. I've been through relationship stuff. I've been through highs and lows. I've been through holding a trophy and also not having one. I've been through the winning and the losing. I've been through all the highs and lows and knowing that, you know what, your best days are coming. Like, it's just, you have to believe that and speak that and speak life into every situation. And so for me, you know, much is given, much is required, you know, and it's a commitment to that.
Bro, like, you would throw a ball. It's like, let's say we scripted play, 10 play, whatever, script. And on the last one, you'll take it and run 80, 90 yards mm-hmm. into the end zone, you know, every day. You know, it's just like, we got to have it. We got to have it.
We still going, B.
Nothing's changed.
No, every time. Got to. I think it's also, too, you're training yourself to score. You're training yourself to get into the end zone. You're training yourself. But you're also setting the tone for the rest of the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, throughout all the – and I think I've learned this in the journey. You know, I was fortunate to see guys like Leon Washington before me. You know, he's a kick returner. He's the best, arguably one of the best kick returners of all time. I remember sitting in the hot tub with him.
Yeah, tell that story.
Yeah, so we're sitting in the hot tub, and I just got named starter. Pete tells me you're going to be the franchise quarterback. Boom, you're going to be named starter. And I get in the hot tub, and the TV's on. I turn the TV off. It's breaking news. Russell Wilson's going to be the – boom, I turn the TV off. And I got my headphones on. It's just me and Leon. He taps me on the shoulder. And I saw this guy work every single time, every kickoff return in practice. He took it back to the house every time. And so – he taps me on the shoulder. He said, hey, three, I'm going to need you to do something. I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to need you to get, how many massages you get a week? I said, one. I said, okay, I'm going to need you to get at least three. I said, three? He said, how much do massages cost? I said, $100. He said, how much is that a week? I said, $300. He said, okay, well, we're going to get, you know, we're going to times that by 10 weeks. Said, okay, well, $3,000. Okay. We're going to play 20 weeks to win the Super Bowl. You going to take care of yourself for 20 weeks? How much is that going to cost you? I said, well, doing the math, about $6,000. He said, okay, that's $6,000. He said, that $6,000 for me is going to turn to $6 million. That $6,000 for you is going to turn to $60 million. I said, okay, I'm going to get them. I'm gonna get
no,
them
no, myself. No, it turned to 260. Yeah, it turned to 260.
So see, we're going to take care of you. Take care of your body first,
right,
which will allow you to take care of your mind. And so that was a huge thing for me to hear that from a vet. And then for me to understand that, watching him work, go to work every day, watching guys like Sidney Rice, watching other guys, even Marshawn. I mean, he would, you know, Marshawn was so cool when he practiced. And then he put the helmet on, taught me to step in to the crib every time. So I watched other guys do it too. And so for me, now being my 13th year, you know, it's like year 12, I'm still going to the end zone every day.
Well, so let me go back really quickly, and then we're going to get back on track here. Why did you turn the TV off?
For me, it's a mental thing. Whenever I'm in the building, I don't, no matter if it's the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, I don't need to see it. I already know what I'm putting in. I already know what we're putting in. I already know the conditions.
Right.
You know what I mean? So for me, it's understanding that, not letting somebody else's words impact you. Right. Because it can change you. It can, you know, you can start believing it, the good and the bad.
Right.
And so for me, it was more so being focused on, all right, that's what I came here to do. I already knew I was going to do it.
There was a moment last year where I'm watching the game, and I'm like, the hell? Like, your arms, bro, was just like, you know what I'm saying? The definition, I'm like, that's different. And maybe in that same game, you took off running. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I feel like that's the fastest he's ever looked.
Yeah.
right? So that was 34. You were 34 at the time, you know. Well, you know, we got it's me. Did the GPS back it up?
Yeah.
Because you got to give me facts now.
I've hit 20, 21. You know, I can get up there still.
You hit 21 last year? Mm-hmm. Was that the fastest?
Yes, probably some of the fastest I've run, yeah. But I feel better. I feel, you know what happened was, is last year I got my knee cleaned up. And I, you know, I had to get knee surgery. And so I was dealing with it all year last year. And then it was like, okay. And so then I was like, after the season, I was
that's
like.
That's year one in Denver.
Year one in Denver.
Get traded from Seattle to Denver.
Yep.
And now we're in year
I took
one.
A hit. I took a certain hit, and I was like, ah. But I just thought it was a knee bruise. You know, me, I'm old school. I'm going to play through anything, you know. And so then, you know, I had my lat, and then I had my knee.
Don't talk to me about the lat.
Yeah.
Please don't talk to me about the lat.
What you mean?
I told your ass don't play through the lat. You tore your lat, bro. I told you don't play through it.
Yeah.
The knee, I can't.
You said. I remember you called me. You said you need to go on IR because of the lat. I said, no, I'm playing.
Right.
But.
Did you feel pressure because, you know, leaving Seattle, you were there for 10 years, legendary, one of the best teams ever. We thought that you guys were going to morph into a dynasty, but it's still legendary run. You go to Denver, you sign a big contract. It's a big thing. Did you feel pressure to stay out there? Like
anybody who knows me and has played with me knows that I play through anything. I'm going to play. I believe that's the quarterback position. You know, you got to be tough enough mentally, physically. You got to be out there with your guys no matter what. That's just what I believe. You know, that's what I know. And so, you know, I've played through stuff in Seattle and all that kind of stuff and battled and everything else. But this one was on my right shoulder, you know, and it was, you know, it happened, I think, in the Raiders game, the fourth game of the year. I dove first down, got the first down, and I just landed funny. And it tore my whole lat, and I was like, oh, man, I may have to sit out, you know. But I was going to play through it. And, you know, I think that part of it was, yeah, you know, you leave Seattle, come to Denver, you know, your first year there, you want to be able to play through stuff
right. And
be there on the field because, you know, I remember, like he said, you should be sitting out. I just, for me, it wasn't an option.
Right.
You know,
I think the quarterback position, there is an exception there, right? Like, you get paid a lot of money. It's a different responsibility. It's a totally different job. You know, y'all got to navigate a little differently than most guys. But, man, like, I want our guys to be smarter to where it's like understanding the business of it and understanding that if you don't produce, you could be the next Zeke. Zeke playing through a knee in Dallas, his last year in Dallas. Production dips. He's done. He can't do it anymore. Now they ask him to take a pay cut. Then they cut him. And now, you know, the rest is history. So I think we need to be smarter. We need to continue to have these type of conversations.
Yeah, I think for me, though, going to Denver, it's like I got to play through it, you know, and I want to win.
Yeah,
that's what all I care about is winning. And, you know, I've played through things before and won, you know, but I never missed a game before. You know, the first time I ever missed a game in 10 years was when I broke my finger. My finger was sitting sideways. And that was in Seattle. I was supposed to miss, that was in 2021. I was supposed to miss like 8 games or whatever. Came back in after the third one. But, you know, I think that part of me is like, you know, maybe I came back a couple games too early or whatever. But part of me is like, I'm supposed to be out here. You know, yeah. I got to be out here. And I think, you know, going through that first year in Denver and just things not going the way we wanted it to, you know, but I signed up for the long term there. You know, I want to win. I want to find a way to win, you know, every game, you know, that's just the mentality,
yeah. You
know, and then, you know, it didn't go the way that I wanted it to, but doesn't, you know, wasn't going to let it affect me.